Hello, I'm Carol.
Hello, I'm Susan. Welcome to Kickapoo Nightlife, a news magazine exploring our world after sunset. We'll explore how dark nights and dark skies affect human health, as well as news on how you can have effective, efficient, affordable lighting that also helps all the bugs, birds, and critters who, like us, need dark skies to be healthy.
We'll talk to astronomers, photographers, scientists, artists, engineers, and even some of your neighbors about the stars and the planets in the sky, what goes on at night in the land around us, and the world at large, and the technology and innovations from around the world that are improving our lives through smart, efficient lighting.
Today, we're looking at lighting from a different perspective, and we're looking at light that moves, our vehicle headlights. Humans see it one way, and all other life sees it quite differently. We'll look at how the bugs and critters might be experiencing our headlights that constantly zoom across their homes, as well as considering how other drivers experience vehicle lights, something we often don't think about much when we're driving. There are some bold new ideas for how we can have better lighting than we now have while driving at night.
This program is sponsored by the velvet-winged moths that float through the night air, searching for nectar-filled flowers. Moths' complex, delicate eyes have no eyelids, for they have lived for millions of years in the dark part of the day on Earth. Their pollination actively tells flowers to make more nectar during daylight so that their kin, the day-flying butterflies and other insects, have enough to eat. The moths of Vernon County sponsor Kickapoo Nightlife and all dark sky restoration work, hoping humans will allow them to continue helping our flowers.
Well, now we want to chat about what to do in July. It's summer, and we're all busy in the summer. One addition to your summer activity, though, is a twilight stroll, because it balances all that busyness. In Holland, there's an old tradition that now is called de schemer. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And the word schemer means dusk, and so de schemer is dusking. It's a verb, and it means people relax. They stop being busy, and they let the evening and maybe part of the night bring the feeling humans used to know all over the world as the day ended, the feeling of being surrounded by beauty and peacefulness. Take a stroll or sit on the porch and watch sunset. Listen to the sounds of all the other creatures, recognizing the change of day to evening. Breathe and remember, this is free. You can enjoy and benefit from twilight every day. And summer is a great time to start that habit because it's so lovely out. You don't have to put on a jacket. Another thing that you can do in July is watch the chimney swifts return to their roosts. It happens every night in several places in Viroqua, and they don't mind if we watch them fly home. A few minutes after the sun sets, the swifts come winging back to the chimneys they roost in. Watching them circle and dive into the chimneys is really fascinating. They have, four locations in town?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and one is where I've been watching them is the historical building next to Vernon Memorial Hospital. You can go to the parking lot between Main Street and the Horse Historical Building and just stand there and watch them fly. Another location is the chimney on the Tangled Hickory Building, and you can park in the lot on Jefferson Street. And they also roost in the Landmark Center Building chimneys and Little Bird Nursery on Terhune Street and at the courthouse.
It's kind of fun to bring binoculars, but also a chair that you can sit back and relax, but so that you're not straining your necks as you look up at those chimneys.
Well, yeah, they circle for quite a few minutes, and then they start going in, and it takes a few minutes for them all to go home. So, yeah, a chair and a comfortable position is really nice. It's quite a show.
It's quite a show. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And we'll also have firefly walks in July. There have been fireflies for quite a while now, but July is a really good time. For information, go to info@fourdarkskies.org, and we'll let you know when we're heading out, if you ask, for the next wandering looking for fireflies. Or if you have a time you'd like to go out, send us a note at that address, info@fourdarkskies.org, and ask for a time you'd like a guided night walk, and we'll try to make it work. We can be sometimes pretty flexible on that, and we just like to go out and show people the night wonders. And the fireflies, they're always beautiful, but sometimes they're really spectacular.
Absolutely. And remember to turn off your exterior lights to give fireflies a chance.
Yeah, they don't reproduce if they've got any artificial light. So the other events in July are our Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative monthly board of director meeting is Monday, July 20th at 7 p.m. at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve Visitors Center, and the public is welcome to attend. You can go to info@fourdarkskies.org and get a link for the meeting if you'd like to attend by Zoom. The Wisconsin Dark Sky Monthly Meeting is on Thursday, July 15th at 6:30 p.m. Go to darkskywi.org for a link to join their online meeting and find out what's going on all around the state. That's our July events. Please get out and do some of them.
The phenology report for July. The daytime buzzing of dog days, cicadas, and katydids begin to sing on warm summer days. Male katydids begin calling as they rub their legs over their rasped, ridged wings like a fiddle and bow. They can be found in trees feeding on cherry, oak, maple, and apple trees. Monarch butterflies are seen feeding on blooming milkweed plants. Black raspberries and blackberries ripen along fence rows. Berries are plucked for a meal by hungry chipmunks, squirrels, raccoons, fox, skunk, black bears, birds, and people.
Yum!
The second brood of Karner blue butterfly adults emerge from their cocoon like chrysalis and take flight. Loons and their chicks are commonly seen and heard on northern lakes. The gypsy moth larva, an alien invader, reaches maturity and eats all the leaves from trees in the process. Northern pike and muskellunge fingerlings, the young, leave wetlands for open water. Young spiders scatter by casting their long spun threads into the air from treetops, riding the wind to new locations. Tall grass and sand prairies are vibrant with blooming purple cornflower, compass plant, prairie dock, and wild bergamot. Joe Pieweed shows his color in the wetlands. Native basswood trees are in their primary bloom cycle, while broadleaf trees reach their densest summer foliage. Migrant songbirds have completed nesting, and fledglings are commonly seen at feeding stations. Garter snakes, snapping turtles, and other reptiles are regularly seen basking in the peak of July sunshine.
It's a rich month.
It's a rich, wonderful month.
It really is, yeah. You are listening to WDRT 91.9 FM, Viroqua, Wisconsin. And now we're going to play a short recording made a little while ago with a young woman in Norwalk who's a poet. And she has a lovely poem about the night that was presented at the poetry event at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve earlier this spring. And we just thought her poem was lovely. And so we're going to play an interview with her and her poem. Hope you enjoy it. Hello, everyone. Today, I'm talking with Rosalind Bolton, who's a young poet who was in the Kickapoo Valley Reserve poetry event this last week in Lafarge. And she had a beautiful poem about a walk in the night. So we're going to share that with you today. But first, we're just going to get to know Rose a little, because she's an interesting young lady and she's got a lot of interests besides poetry. So welcome, Rose.
Thank you.
Yeah, glad to have you on the program. I think people love this kind of thing, and so I think they'll really like hearing your poem. How much poetry do you write?
I don't write a ton of poetry. When I feel inspired by something, I'll write a poem, but it's not a regular hobby with me.
So you're comfortable just sit down and kind of work on it, and out comes a poem?
Yes.
All right. Do you always write about nature, or what other topics might you write about?
Generally, I write about nature. Some of my other poems are written about other things, but most of my poems are written about nature.
And what else do you do that's creative? Do you have other hobbies or interests that you're exploring?
I enjoy baking. I really enjoy baking. I love sewing. I'm not super good at it yet, but I'm hoping to get good enough to eventually sew my own clothes. I also like drawing and painting. I'm not particularly good at those either, but I really enjoy doing them.
Sounds like you do things that are writing, you do two-dimensional things like painting, and three-dimensional things with fabric and baking, and kind of a broad spectrum of things that you are exploring. That's great. Well, you have a lovely poem, like I said, and we did a poetry program with Joanne Sherd, who's a poet that lives near Lafarge, and that was aired in, might have been January or December, and that's, you can find it in our archives on our program, and so we thought it would be nice to drop in some poetry once in a while on this program. So today you're the guest artist. So if you would like to read your poem, we'd love to hear it.
All right, thank you. My poem is called A Walk in the Night. I love nothing better than in the moonlight to sneak into the garden and walk in the night. It's so eerie, so strange, but so beautiful too, looking up at the sky where in day the birds flew. The roses and lilacs that in day were light pink are now darkest of black, like charcoal or ink. The moon stretches down her rays to illumine the trees that in nighttime look almost quite human. No squirrels chatter. Most birds are asleep, except the owls in the unblinking vigil they keep. The stars shine down from their dazzling height to light the way through my walk in the night.
Thank you. That's really a nice poem. And you've got a lot of structure in there and other aspects of putting a poem together that are quite well done. So,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I hope you keep writing poetry, because that's really nice. So, folks, go out and read some poetry and maybe write one of your own, because we can all write poems and this is good inspiration to do it. So, thank you to Rose. And I hope you keep writing poetry, as I said in the interview. And listeners, if you're inspired by that lovely little poem, write some poetry too.
She is a true talent.
Yeah.
It is beautiful.
That is a lovely poem. It's really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Carol, I've been finding stories in different news sources, articles, about different types of lighting. And one of the things that's come up more than once is headlights. And so I'm wondering if you've noticed that headlights are much brighter in the past years than ever before. I have noticed that. Have you noticed that?
Susan, boy, have I noticed that. Have you heard of a deer in the headlights Well, that's me. It reminds me of the Manfred Mann's Earth Band song, She Was Blinded by the Light.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Lights make driving so difficult. I find myself trying to avoid traveling on the highways at night. But that's not the answer. I don't want to miss out on a great concert just because I'm intimidated by the glare from passing cars.
Well, all of us have been increasingly caught in the glare of excessively bright headlights that shine in our eyes and blind us while we're driving at night. It's a double-edged sword. The driver behind the blinding lights looks at areas of glare and contrasting darkness where nothing can be seen outside of the area directly in front of the car, while the drivers facing those oncoming bright lights are simply blinded until their eyes are able to readjust.
The excessively bright headlights are also a problem for every other creature, from bats to moths to animals moving through the night. Like our sponsor, the moths, that have no eyelids. You know, they don't have eyelids.
Well, most insects. No insects do.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
No.
And so they cannot protect themselves from the blinding, disorienting car lights. They can't blink. Rabbits, owls, bobcats, deer, and all other companions in the fields and forests have eyes adapted to normal night darkness. It takes time, each time they are blinded by the headlights, to regain their adaptive vision so they can continue to move safely. Drivers are unaware of the havoc their passing headlights cause. The carnage on the roads at night where a car hits an animal is largely due to this issue.
Yeah, we always say, well, that deer just ran into my car, but the deer could not see.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. They're not stupid. They can't see what they're doing.
That's right. So we are actually hitting them. They're not hitting us.
Yeah. We know all creatures moving about in the dark need that time to carry on their lives. Being repeatedly disoriented and their activities disrupted affects their ability to survive. It's that simple. The Atlantic magazine recently featured this topic, and they titled the article, Driving in America is Headlight Hell. And I think that illustrates that the problem is extensive enough to concern many people and write a feature article about it. In the U.S., we have increasingly loaded our vehicles with technology that's often not necessary, and sometimes it's even inconvenient. I personally have a long list of annoyances with our newer cars, many added on gadgets, such as electric seat-moving motor. Don't let me go there.
Don't go there, Susan. Don't go there.
Yeah. But U.S. car makers are busy with all these glitzy add-ons that some people like, but they haven't been paying attention to the critical need for better headlights. We are not considering the quality of the light we use to drive at night and that it's not as safe as we think it is. Safety may be more important at night even than during the day because we just don't have all that ambient light around us. We depend on the headlights. Until recently, we've been unaware that many other countries have had headlights for over a decade that, and I'll quote from the article, brilliantly illuminate the road in front of them without simultaneously burning another driver's retinas. This technology is called Adaptive Driving Beam, or ADB. These lights track the road ahead and follow it, rather than always shining straight ahead from the car. They also dim for oncoming vehicles. ABD lights do not send glare out in all directions beyond the road. This is possible because LED technology allows headlights to be programmed for these complex operations. We can choose whether we use LEDs to cause problems or improve night vision.
Adaptive driving beam headlights are a better alternative because they adjust as you drive. The result is an increase in roadway illumination of up to 80% compared to standard lights. While the technology has been available for many years in Europe, Asia, and Canada, it is only becoming available now in the United States. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration ruled in 2022, so that's, 4 years ago, to allow automakers to install ADB headlights on new vehicles. Adaptive driving beam headlights are now becoming one of the many important safety features available when shopping for a new car. Several automakers have announced fully functional ADB matrix headlights for the North American market. Rivian R1T and R1S and R2, Tesla Model 3 and Model Y, Cadillac Optiq, and the Audi Q9 and QS9 SUV. Automakers had hurdles to jump to meet the standards of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. The requirements that were set are far more detailed than those of other countries. It took Audi more than a year to gain approval for its advanced driving beam system, though it had been available worldwide for several years.
There's a growing group of organizations and companies looking at these questions and exploring innovations that we may be using in the future to have good driving lights here in our country. Here's part of the problem. Most U.S. car companies are behind in implementing light technology and need to catch up. However, these companies that are offering adaptive driving beam headlights, whether domestic or foreign, have only made them available on their luxury models. So until all vehicle models come standard with ADB headlights, the old lighting technology will continue to blind us. About a quarter of all of our driving in the United States takes place at night, but that's when 50% of driver fatalities and 77% of pedestrian deaths occur. Limited visibility due to poorly directed lights and glare is a big reason. More is not better, especially in lighting.
We have the technology. Now is the time for change.
Yes, and especially when these other countries have been driving around with this improved lighting for that long, over a decade, and we don't even know it exists yet. It's important to note that many cars in the U.S. have the technology to shine less blinding beams with a simple software update that can be acquired online. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration currently has the software under review. However, when it will become available is uncertain. But public demand could impact the approval process and push it through faster. Meanwhile, we are driving cars that could give us better night vision on the road and stop blinding all the other drivers if only the technology was available to all of us. Here's where you can start the revolution for better headlights. When buying a new car or even getting your car repaired, create a demand by requesting better lighting. Let the car dealers know you want adaptive driving beam headlights because it is an important safety feature. And it's now available. The more we ask, the greater the demand for the product, and the increased likelihood it will become more available on the market. Drivers all over the world have better headlights, and we should too. The concept car, Dark Sky One, was built with many features for safe driving in the dark, from the type of paint on it to how the headlights work, interior lighting, and more. It was debuted at the Detroit Auto Show last January. Look for news from this project in the near future. Darksky.org has information on the project, and I'd like to add that this is a concept car. Make sure that's clear. It is not a production car. It's a car to do research on these issues, such as lighting and visibility at night.
And it's interesting that the International Dark Sky Association is a partner in developing this concept car.
Yes, there's actually everything from advertising to dark sky organizations to car manufacturers from all over the world working on this concept car. It's a huge project.
It is.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Stay tuned. We think lights that blind oncoming drivers should be deemed a safety problem and eliminated. Drivers everywhere should have effective headlights that increase safety when driving at night. Adaptive driving beam technology also helps in protecting our dark skies by focusing light where it is needed and diminishing the brightness of the LED light. If you, like me, must keep driving a car with obsolete glaring headlights, be sure to dim them when cars approach. Watch your speed. Give yourself, other drivers, and the critters time to react and safely make it to your and their destinations.
Yeah, and I was just reading about one of the reasons that automatic dimming headlights are part of the package with these lighting systems is that the research shows people don't dim their lights. They do not voluntarily do that, so they're overriding the human control and dimming the lights for you, which I think is maybe not, it's too bad they have to do that because you want the control sometimes, but we don't pay attention to that, and that's one thing we need to start with before we get the better lights is dimming them better.
Yes, and improving, you know, our night driving by taking it slow.
Yep. And especially all of us who live in the country, and we do have to share the road, whether we like it or not. We share it with all the critters, and they are out away from the roadside many, many feet, and they're still sharing the road with us because our light and noise and movement affect them. So what we do has a wide impact.
It sure does.
Yeah. So I'm excited about the possibilities of this lighting and that we may actually be able to have it or see it in the next near future, maybe the next year or two.
And the one thing we didn't emphasize in our program today was that this new lighting concept will really affect our dark skies and that will help to eliminate night glow and light spread.
Yeah, the traffic in the world is a significant part of sky glow. The
sure.
traffic lights. Mm-hmm. And if all those lights were changed to what they use in France and certain other parts of the world, it can make a significant difference.
Yeah. So go out, look at the stars, drive slow, dim your headlights.
And de-shimmer. De-shimmer in the evenings. Go dusking with the Dutch and enjoy twilight and sunset and fireflies in July. Come out with us and do a firefly walk.
Don't shimmer. De-shimmer.
De-shimmer, yes. It's almost like shimmering.
It is like shimmering.
So we hope you have a wonderful midsummer time, and we will see you next month.
Goodbye.
Bye.